Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
So let's leave that there. Thank you for joining our show today. And our audience, we're going crazy. Because I have a guest in the house today. Okay, enough. That's good. All right. And so we're going to welcome Chris Lawson from Lawson Concepts. Chris has more than 25 years of experience with Fortune 500 IT contact center experience, helping organizations harness information to reduce their customer effort. His firm specializes in aiding companies with speech, analytics, blueprinting, and high-performance knowledge management, thus enabling contact centers to better leverage their technology investment with solutions that redefine both the agent and the customer's experience. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Sure, sure. So, you know, being in the business so long, I know there's a lot of things around these days about chatbots and AI and, you know, all these new kind of whiz-bang tools out there, you know, but I think one of the things that always I always had questions about, anytime you call someplace and say, this call may be recorded for training purposes. And you've got a lot of strong skill sets in kind of the speech analytics side of it. I was talking to a client the other day, and they said, well, we try to listen to calls, but we have to strip out so much of what's in the content of the call for confidentiality reasons that we don't really get much coaching content out of that. You know, I don't know if that's something you've run into with your consulting practice.
Well, with the advent of identity theft and a lot of the privacy laws, that can be a factor. However, it depends upon how you're using the information. So if an organization is recording the calls, which most organizations and contact centers do nowadays, and they do it for training purposes because they can find coaching opportunities to improve the customer experience, but they also do it to help evaluate their agents because they have their own KPI metrics of maintaining a certain level of service. So as long as they're doing that within the contact center itself, many times they don't have to strip out the information. Where the problem becomes problematic is when then those calls, maybe somebody in a different department, you know, wants to hear a particular type of call. Once you release that call outside of the contact center, you open it up to a lot of different risks because you lose control of it. So obviously, you know, you have to be able to go in and that information. So it can be an issue, but there are ways that you can also continue to work with it and work around that.
Okay. So for those call centers that aren't leveraging, you know, call analytics or speech analytics, you know, what would be your recommendation as far as how to get started, or how, you know, what should they be looking at in order to make decisions around adding speech analytics?
You know, this is a question I frequently get about organizations wanting to get into using and leveraging speech analytics. And speech analytics over the last number of years has really matured. It used to really be considered a luxury tool, but it's pretty much mainstream now. It's not luxury, and there are an awful lot of really good speech platforms that range in a lot of different price ranges. So with that in mind, I believe that from articles I've read and other research that while it's in the mainstream, there still are probably thousands of contact centers who are not using speech analytics, and they really could be gaining some tremendous gains with using speech analytics. But I think one of the issues around that about why some organizations don't take the jump to get into it are a couple of reasons. One, it's a complex, sophisticated tool, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, there's lots of sophisticated tools in the market that contact centers and all organizations use.
Sure.
But I think organizations, the number one issue I see around bringing it in is, while they can say they can look at and read case studies or read use cases, they still have issues with understanding, if I bring this tool in, how am I going to really be able to leverage it within my organization? So I think that becomes one of the big challenges for organizations. Along with that can be cost, but again, there's lots of different types of platforms that run the gamut of price. So I don't really think that's so much of an issue. But I do think the other thing is there have been quite a few horror stories, and I've witnessed and worked with many of those too, and of failed deployments. And what organization wants to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, in some cases millions of dollars, on a tool only to see that it failed? Not a very good career move for those who are going to bring it in. And I think that plays into maybe some of the fear factor for organizations. Nobody wants to see it fail.
Right. Or a career-ending experience.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think I was asking you a question about how it's my perception, and maybe it's wrong, that a lot of the infrastructure, architecture of the phone systems in call centers are in the cloud today, so you would think it would be easier to add speech analytics.
It definitely is, and especially for organizations that have telecommute or at-home agents, because it's so easy to set up additional agents, and along with that, they can instantly turn on speech analytics. But it depends upon the size of the organizations, what you're wanting to record, and what types of speech analytics you're wanting to do. And in particular, how your particular organization is regulated, you know, state, federal, lots of different reasons. But everybody, you know, is moving to the cloud, and speech is doing that as well. But it just kind of depends upon what it is you're trying to achieve.
And what are the common analytics that people are pulling from that?
You know, this is a question that I get a lot, especially when I speak at a lot of the national conferences about speech analytics, is, you know, what is it that we should be looking at? And in general, organizations typically are looking at first call resolution. They may be looking at trying to reduce their average handle time. They may be wanting to improve their customer experience or improve their net promoter scores or customer satisfaction scores. But I hear this same type of question many times when people are asking about, how are you evaluating agents? You know, what do you do on your evaluation form? And I've participated in these conversations where another organization said, well, we evaluate on this. And that company says, well, that's what we ought to be doing. But that's not how you should be looking at it, because what's important for one company and its customers may not be important on the same side for your customers and organization.
Right.
So those are general things that organizations are leveraging speech. However, definitely want to offer to the audience that if you're going to leverage speech analytics, you need to really think beforehand. And this is where it becomes important to create a strategic blueprint to prepare the organization for bringing speech analytics in, is to define a lot of different factors about what it is that you want to achieve, not necessarily by speech analytics in itself. Speech analytics is a tool, and you're going to leverage that tool. But you need to think in terms of what is it that our organization wants to achieve. And those, typically those goals and objectives are outlined every year by the executive team, that we want to become, I don't know, in the top 10 providers of healthcare, or we want to improve our net promoter score by X percent, or we want to reduce costs. Those are the things that organizations need to focus in on about what's important to them and not worry about what other organizations are doing. And then as you start doing that, you'll begin to start learning them other opportunities that you can leverage speech analytics. And I think that's one of the really beautiful things about speech analytics is once the organization begins to understand that this is an intelligence tool, and when I say that, it's not in a nefarious way, but it's it's a tool that can open up the eyes of those that are using it to think about solving problems differently. And that is where the true opportunities begin to come into play, because you can start thinking about how we can solve things differently than we have in the past. And most organizations, when they get speech analytics, they look at it as in a reactive mode.
Can you give me an example of how, you know, somebody was solving a problem differently once they had speech analytics?
Well, I can. So in a reactive mode, something has already happened. Maybe all of a sudden a company is spiking in phone calls about a particular issue. And I've seen this in contact centers because I've worked in a lot of different ones. And, you know, why are they calling? Why are they asking this question? And the agents are unable to really give a good answer. And so the organization has to scramble to find out what's going on and why. Well, then they use speech analytics to go back and understand why is this happening and how it could have been prevented, which is great. But speech analytics also gives you the opportunity to be proactive. So let's say that your organization is going to roll out a new product or a new service. It's a great opportunity to get ahead of the game to then, as you start rolling those out to customers, to use speech analytics to understand how the product or service is being perceived. Are there some issues that just got overlooked or fell through the cracks about a particular process that we need that is done internally? And so that gives you the ability to quickly identify those, rectify it, and then you don't have these huge spikes then. So it is both in a reactive and proactive, and even those that, like I said, organizations that begin in a reactive mode tend to then start using it in proactive, but continue to use it on both sides. But there's both sides of the issues that speech analytics is a great tool to be able to understand what's happened in the past, but also to help you as you're moving forward with something new to avoid a lot of different pitfalls with your customers.
Now, I was using a tool that was a biometric speech tool that would measure the emotion in someone's voice. And I was using it in a simulated context, but where I really saw the benefit is if we could somehow incorporate that into a live environment where, based upon the emotions that it's picking up in someone's voice, their temperament, and some of those things, that the agent could calibrate either their empathy or just the way that they're interacting with them verbally. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that.
Yes. In fact, many of the, not all, but many of the speech platforms have a sentiment ability. And depending upon the platform, they can do it in a couple of different ways. One, there's a substantial list of, you can imagine, of words that evoke an emotion. We'll call those four-letter words. So that's one thing that speech analytics is listening for, and then can then start flagging or highlighting that portion of the conversation. But then it also goes beyond that to look at really the loudness or the frequency of the tone of your voice. So if I'm talking rather softly and then suddenly I get pretty loud, again, it's going to invoke and highlight that there's a reason why someone is getting louder in their voice. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that it because they're it could be that the customer is mad and upset, or it could be that the customer, yes, is upset, but they're upset about something else, not necessarily about, you know, your organization. But again, understanding that and then being able to see that within the speech platform gives you the opportunity for coaching opportunities or teaching moments for the reps of, you know, gosh, I'm not sure how I could have handled that. The other thing is the speech tools allow you to search for that. And to hear about and say, I want to see all the calls, and maybe it's for a particular agent or a whole host of agents of where they're having these issues. And again, from there, you can work backwards. Well, okay, if we're having these types of things that are being said, then you can backtrack and actually understand that. Here's an interesting story about that, that is related. Many of the automobile insurance companies who use speech analytics did some research around customer churn, and that is customers who they've got their automobile insurance and they change and they're trying to understand why. And they found that there was one word that was spoken, and it didn't make any difference whether the agent said it or the customer said it, but they found that once this word was said, 80% of customers would change their automobile insurance to a different company. And that one word was ridiculous.
Oh, interesting.
And so knowing that, now you can't prevent, you can prevent your agents from saying that word. You can't necessarily prevent the customer from saying it, but it's an opportunity to help your agents understand that. And if they see the conversation going in that direction, to try to steer the conversation so the customer doesn't say it. But you know, they send things like, "Oh, you know, my rates have gone up. That's just ridiculous." Or, "I can't believe you're going to pay. You're not going to pay for this claim. That's ridiculous." So that, and so it's along those same types of sentiment that the insurance companies found this. I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, there was another along the same vein. I found a study that showed if you, somebody's calling in to get a quote for car insurance, if you said what's the make and model of your car, like right off the bat in the very beginning, they had a much, much higher customer conversion rate for whatever reason. If you just write, please tell me the make and model of your car versus, you know, we've got options, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you, so I think that made it more personal for some reason.
So there's lots of opportunities of finding it. So, you know, here the insurance companies found this one particular word. So obviously it would be a matter of, well, what other types of words that are maybe being used that are causing other types of issues, regardless of,
yeah.
of what that is. Is it affecting our NPS scores? Is it causing customer churn? But that's where, again, I go back to that speech analytics allows you to think about solving challenges within your organization in a completely different
yeah.
light.
Yeah, that, and then you can build that right into the training on the front end. Yeah. Hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and the whole, I'm having lots of conversations today with people that are putting a heavy emphasis on empathy. And I was trying to find some research to, you know, that would say, are there just some people that can't be taught how to be show empathy? And there are some people out there that really struggle with it, you know, and they may be the most technical person in the world. You know, if you're like a tech support type person, which is where I probably would find most of these folks, they're very technical, astute, but, you know, you play back, you know, a recording of a conversation they had and it went wrong. And they're like, what was wrong with that? I told them how to fix your problem.
Well, you know, being a contact center agent is a really it's a hard job, and I admire and salute those contact center agents, because to learn everything that they have to learn and to continuously be happy and cheerful mm-hmm. and to
yep.
serve the needs of their customers, it's a really difficult job, and I can understand how. You know, call after call after call, depending upon, you know, what's going on, they may not be all
yeah.
great calls.
Yeah.
And it can be pretty frustrating and fatiguing for the agents to
mm-hmm.
have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So hats off and salute to the contact center agents.
Yeah, in fact, I just gave a speech where turnover rates in call centers on average is 27%. I would say probably a little bit higher than that. And they're not leaving because they're going to make more money somewhere else. This research thing that I found was talking about how we're in an on-demand economy now. So people want their rides on demand. They want their food on demand. They want their Amazon packages on demand, you know. And so that unskilled labor has a lot more options now of where they can go and make the same amount of money. And so organizations really need to get creative around how to handle that stress load and fatigue that they have.
Well, and again, that's where speech analytics is one particular tool that can help. But if you look at, in general, the reason why consumers call a contact center and how they are served. If you look at research that has been done, 60 to 80% of the contacts that are generated are due to either the customer has unrealistic expectations of the product or service, the
mm-hmm.
organization has bad or broken processes, they have system malfunctions, a lot of internal challenges and failures, and that really a very, very small percentage of agents not wanting to do a good job. You know, I don't care about the company. I just want to, you know, make this customer
right,
mad.
Right.
That is such a small, small percentage. And so I think that's part of the issue is organizations need to begin looking at ways, and speech is a great tool to be able to do it, but it's not the only tool to reduce the customer effort, and to in doing that would reduce the customer or the agent frustration and fatigue. And I think
mm-hmm.
one of the number
mm-hmm.
one things about that is the operational procedures and processes that companies have because they just have an incredible
right.
amount.
Right.
And they're not always correct.
No. Well, and that's, I think you're absolutely right because, you know, one of the, we have a simulation tool, and one of the things I talk about is I prominent feature is that we can build multiple windows up at the same time. And I was explaining this to someone. They said, well, why do they have all those windows open? I said, well, because they're pulling up stuff from a legacy system. They're pulling up from some other application. They're pulling up maybe a reference guide. You know, they've got all these multiple means of, you know, helping solve the issues when, you know, they take that call. And so they want to be able to, at their fingertips, have what they need. But, you know, so he says, well, why don't they just fix it so those things are kind of in one spot? He said, well, because it's a big problem for all these call centers.
It is. And you know, it's expensive. You have all of these different legacy systems that have been around for 25-plus years. And to replace it is going to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's a huge effort.
Yeah.
The other
yeah.
issue that goes along with that is, as it's become more predominant of companies to merge and acquire, and so now,
mm-hmm.
maybe before, they only had one customer information system that they had to use. Well, they merged, now they have two. I know of a
yep.
gas utility that after a number of mergers, they had 13 different customer information systems.
Oh my gosh.
So when a customer, so when a customer called, they had to, you know, okay, if you're calling from this state, I got to use this system. If you're calling from this state, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it gets to be pretty crazy. And so yeah, I've, you know, most, not all, but a lot of contact centers have dual screens because there are just so many windows of
yeah.
different applications.
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
part of that, too,
is
also
mm-hmm.
– go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say we just got probably like 1 minute left here. So I was going to say, you know, what would be kind of your closing words of wisdom here?
Well, I think that, you know, speech analytics is a tool that – any organization can get a lot of value out of it. But I would caution anyone who's interested in using it to think about creating a strategic blueprint so that you
mm-hmm.
understand the reasons why you're going to bring it in and how you're going to leverage it. And most importantly, how are you going to operationalize it? Because you can find lots of insights, but you have to then be able to take the insights and affect change throughout the organization. And so how are you going to do that? And it's so important because the organization changes over time, and before you know it, the person who brought it in got promoted or left the company. The company is always changing, and so if this is never written down and defined in a blueprint, then
mm-hmm.
at some point the tools – become stagnant because nobody knows how to use it. They don't
yeah.
know how to affect change. So that's what I would pass along to anybody who's thinking about speech analytics. Even if you already have it and you want to achieve more, think about creating a strategic blueprint. It will be extremely valuable from here on out.
Well, that sounds like very wise advice, and our audience thinks so too. Loved it. Well, thank you for joining us today, Chris, and we'll certainly be posting your high risk view in case someone wants to utilize your skills to help start their business.
Terrific. Thanks again for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.